Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and praise the Lord. I am just so glad tonight to be back on our radio broadcast on tonight with the study of our word. I want to call our Bible class to order now. Hallelujah. I'm going to start with our devotion. I'm going to have a song or hymn. A scripture and a prayer, a short prayer. Father, I stretch my hand to thee. No to get ready for our scripture reading now. A soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools pours out foolishness. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a branch in the spirit. A fool despises his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. In the house of righteousness is much treasure, but in the revenues of the wicked is trouble. The lips of the wise is dispersed knowledge, but the heart of the foolish doeth not so. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. I have just read you from Proverbs chapter 15. From the first verse down to the eighth verse, may God richly add a blessing to the readers, most of all the doers of his most holy word. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come humbly before your throne of grace on tonight, Lord, asking you tonight to forgive us for every known and unknown sin, Father, that we've committed against you. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we come right now asking you right now, Lord, if we've offended anyone in any kind of way, Lord, please forgive us now, Father. In the name of Jesus, we ask you on tonight, Father, to search our hearts, our minds, and our spirit. If there is anything in there, Father, that should not be, we ask you to send the fire of God on tonight to burn it out, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Remove anything that will keep us separated from you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask you on tonight to create in us a clean heart, renewing us a right spirit and a sound mind on tonight. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we ask you to bind a strong man up on tonight, every evil and negative thing, Lord, every wicked thing, Lord, that try to come against us, Lord. We ask you to bind it up right now, Father, in the name of Jesus. Police our radio broadcast, those in radio land, hallelujah. We ask you to police this wave frequency on the air, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We ask you right now, Lord, to send the angel, one of your giant angels, so that they can stand guard, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, I ask you now to let me surrender my will to you, decrease that the Holy Spirit may increase, and teach your people on tonight, Father. These are your people, Hondo Kobabanda, in the name of Jesus. These are your people, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I'm just a mouthpiece. I ask you right now to bless everyone under the sound of my voice, Father. Those in radio land, bless them and their families right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we just be careful now to give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. In Jesus' name we pray, and for your glory, Father, amen. Amen, amen. We just thank and praise God on tonight, hallelujah, for another opportunity to come together to the study of the Word of God. And we give God all praises and glory tonight. All of it belongs to Him, hallelujah. And we just thank Him on tonight for being so gracious and so kind to us. He's an awesome God. I'm trying to find our spot. He is an awesome God, and I thank and praise Him. Let me see here. No, that's not it. And so we give Him the praise and the glory tonight. I'm so grateful on tonight to, you know, I love prayer, so I love to talk about it. You know, I love to do it. I love to seek God. I love to talk to Him. You know, it's an honor to be before the Lord. The devil is a liar. I'm finna find my spot where I stopped at. And, it must be it. That must be it. I got August the 3rd, 2010. I don't know what that means. But, we're gonna start right here, I guess. Anyway, we've been talking about prayer and the Holy Spirit, and we know that, as we talked about the other day, how prayer opens the door for the Holy Spirit to come in. You know, we start off when we're babes in Christ just saying, you know, our regular prayer, and it, the more you even pray it, the Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You can pray seven of those, even three of those, and you can feel the Holy Ghost like I'm feeling right now, the Holy Spirit, just praying those prayers. And the more you pray them, the more the Holy Spirit, the more you stir the Holy Spirit to come right on in, open up doors that the Holy Spirit can come in. And then when He come in, He manifests Himself after He gets in. Mm-hmm. And then your spirit, because you've been dealing with the Holy Spirit so much, your spirit gets real sensitive. Mm-hmm. And that's really the way it works. Okay, we're going to start with your personal response to prayer. Prayer creates a personal change in your life, and nothing you can do will benefit you more than prayer. Nothing. Through prayer, you can create an account balance in your favor in God's spiritual bank through prayer. Through prayer, you will benefit spiritually, mentally, and physically through prayer. Prayer can do all of those things. See, as human beings, we are created, we are wonderfully made. God created us in his own divine image, fearfully and wonderfully made. Our potential is much greater than any of us has ever realized. Our minds is only used to a small percentage of its capacity. Our bodies are capable of more endurance, strength, and longevity. Our spirits are capable of experiencing so much more of God's spiritual blessings. Prayer creates the atmosphere in which we can prosper and be in health, even as our soul prospers. Prayer can change our atmosphere, period. You can start off dragging, I'm tired, I'm sleepy, I'm this, I'm that, but just somebody strike up a hymn and give a prayer and see what happens. All that stuff, all that tiredness, all that stuff go away. From the beginning of the recorded time, the world has been blessed physically, mentally, has been blessed spiritually, and physically and mentally. See, I guess I can just say it like this: prayer then, prayer now. I say that because they had God right there with them. They had the Father right there. But now the Father is in heaven. And well, you know what? He was there, but they couldn't see him. So he was there, and he could talk to them, talk in their minds. But they couldn't see him. And I guess that's the same as today. He's here, but we can't see him. Still talking to us in our minds. So it's the same thing. But talking to God, to me, changed some from then. And talking to God is prayer to me now. Talking back then, I don't know if they even knew what prayer was, but they still was talking to God. And I'm just talking about when in Genesis 1 and 1 back in that time, because after it got down so far as Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses and all them, they would pray. They would go pray, so they knew what prayer was. But Adam and Eve, I don't think they did. I just don't think they did. And God was right there with them and Satan too. Okay. God has written and is writing a book called Remembrance, because he remembers how we pray, what we say, what we do. He remembers. And I know he has a heavenly secretary taking all that stuff down. Those who spend time thinking or meditating will find out that God is keeping an accurate record. You and I can only imagine the richness of the spiritual thoughts that God thinks about or have in his mind. Our minds can't, I feel like our minds can't even fathom that. You know, we just don't know. We who know the mind of God? Who? God keeps spiritual records. Nothing is lost or wasted. Nothing ever is lost or wasted with God. Nothing that is done for him is ever in vain. He keeps that record of remembrance, a book of remembrance. So oftentimes we forget what people do for us. But God, he don't forget. Now, the things that people do against him, he remembers those too. Yes, he does. He remembers. Mm-hmm. Persistent in prayer is important when you think in terms of accounting. We don't know how long we have to pray before God will answer our prayers. Daniel, you know, he prayed three times a day, and he discovered that his prayers helped Gabriel in overcoming the spiritual opposition he encountered for 21 days. God heard the prayers, and they were held in account. In Luke chapter 11, we can read Christ's response to the disciples' request, teach us to pray. In giving the disciples the answer to their request, Christ tells a story. You know, a friend is approached regarding the loan of three loaves and all that, but he still taught them how to pray. Some prayers require a great deal of repetition for them to be a response, for there to be a response. Some prayers do. But whether because of spiritual opposition or some other reason, we are told to keep on praying, and we should keep on praying. We should keep on praying. I don't care what it looks like, because we know that God is in control of everything. He's in control. So we need to keep on praying and keep in doing more than that, even fasting, praying and fasting. We need to keep doing it. Prayer is the key. Prayer brings on good health, not just health, but good health. When you pray or somebody's praying for you, when I tell you God will hear you, I'm sure a witness to that. Yes, I am. And he started doing great things. For all the advancement of modern medicine and or medical science, people are still suffering from sickness and disease. And God does not bring on sickness. He don't bring on sickness. Jesus was flogged, all them stripes for every disease. So we conquered that. He conquered that for us. We don't have to worry about being sick. Today, doctors say heart disease and cancer are the greatest killers. They also agree that most of our physical problems are caused by stress, and they are. But God didn't intend for us to be sick, and he don't cause sickness upon us. People are afraid of nuclear destruction and all that kind of stuff, but God didn't. For sickness, I know he don't cause sickness to come upon us. This is the enemy. Sickness comes from the enemy. And when you have an ailment, you should do just what the Bible says. Call for the elders of the church to pray for you. Paul wrote to the church at Philippi, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. 4, 6, and 7. We have a choice as a Christian. We have a choice. We can either be anxious or we can trust in God. We can have our hearts and minds full of the cares of this world, or we can pray. What is the benefit of the latter? We can pray. Prayer deals with the cause and not just the effects, with the effects. Prayer deals with the cause and not just with the effects. What's happening? If the cause of most of our illness is anxiety, then the way to deal with the symptoms resulting from anxiety is to handle the cause. That is, getting rid of the anxiety. Prayer deals with the cause. When you pray, okay, Paul tells the Philippians the secret to living without anxiety. The secret is prayer. When you pray, you are placing the problem that has made you anxious in God's hand. That's why we have to put it all in his hand. And that, put it all in his hand. Through thanksgiving, you leave the problem in God's hand and don't pick it up. Don't pick the problem back up again. By dealing with anxiety, most of the symptoms can simply disappear in time. It takes time and patience. But if you give God the control and you give whatever it is to God, you're a winner. You're a conqueror. You're more than a conqueror. The results of this kind of living will produce a peace that passes or surpasses all natural understanding, because now you are relying on your internal resources, your Heavenly Father. You don't have to be fearful. You can be at a place. People in the world won't understand this because it seems foolish to them. It seems foolish to them. Men feel that they must do everything for themselves. We have to become the "I'll do it for myself" generation. The last thing the world wants to do is trust in anyone else, especially God. Because of this, they are suffering with stomach ulcers, heart attacks, cancers more than ever. Yet we can live our lives full of great peace. We have to give our problems to the Lord in prayer. We have to. We can therefore live healthy lives when we give up that stress. And I'm talking about myself. See, a lot of times when you're preaching and teaching, it goes to you first. Because I was so stressed out back here 3-4 months ago, so stressed out. I'm telling you, I was stressed out every day. Cares of the world, the things that's going on. When I tell you, God took that thing, I had to just give it up. Had to give it up. Even that's why, you know, I'm dealing with the church situation, still dealing with it, but I will not let it stress me. If God wants us to have the church, he's going to make it possible. I will not worry about that. Mm-mm. I'm not going to lie to get it. I'm not going to cheat to get it. When God gets ready for us to have it, a church building, if it's this one or that one, we're going to get it. I'm not going to do it. Mm-mm. And I love the people of God. I can go rent a building if I have to. I ain't even worried about it. Because it's going to come to fruition one way or the other. One way or the other is coming. But we have to learn how to trust God and give it to him. And I know I have a lot of stress. I had a lot of stress at one time. And I believe the enemy weighs on that and put things in your head and stuff like that. But the devil is alive, I'm telling you. See, and with us talking about this and studying this, this is to motivate you to begin praying as you have never prayed before. You have always known you need to pray, but you just couldn't get enough time. You were always too busy. You need to pray. Prayer is always in order. And when you pray, you will find yourself getting strength and power. Prayer produces power. I realize that we need more prayer to deal with the new and more complex attacks of Satan that he is using on us today, because he's still using the same stuff he used in the garden. He is a deceitful deceiver. He's still using it. He hasn't even changed his weapons. He's still got the same ones today. You saw how prayer produces power in our lives. When you can see it when you go through something, you're suffering through something, you can see prayer, how much power you have from praying, standing in the face of God. And I mean committed, because I'm telling you, I'm finna get back at this thing, and I haven't left it. But, you know, because I'm working, I can't get it like I want to. And Satan uses exhaustion and tiredness as a weapon against you. See, that's the thing. He uses it as a weapon against you. So when you're tired, you can't do anything. You'll get defeated easily when you're tired and all lethargic and all that kind of stuff, and you don't know what verse and what chapter and how to say the Lord's Prayer that's long about nobody else when you're trying to fall asleep and all that kind of stuff. But you got to stay focused. Keep your mind on the things of God. Know when the enemy, know the tactics and the ways of the enemy. Now, everything ain't from Satan. Everything's not. But would you know without a shadow of a doubt when it is? And then you have to have prayer. You have to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You have to know how to call on the name of Jesus and the blood of Jesus. Prayer produces spiritual understanding. By praying, your whole life will be more aware of spiritual reality than ever before. Also, prayer is the door for more intimate fellowship with the Holy Spirit. We only learn how to move in our gifts as we learn to pray. Each one of us has been given a spiritual gift that we must learn how to use. Prayer is the way to learn it. Prayer is the way to learn it. Prayer is the key to our maintaining physical health. What a blessing it is not to need healing because you're healthy. That ain't nothing but a blessing. We are all designed to desire those things that we perceive are in our best interest. To motivate you to pray, you should, I can show you how you could benefit from prayer or praying in the spirit, soul, and body. You are ready to enter into the next section, and we're going to talk about the three types of prayer. We've been talking about the different types, but we're going to get in the three types of prayer. Because once we finish, we're going to go into the prophetic intercessory prayer. The first one is prayer is petition. In prayer, we must learn to ask. Although it is true that God knows everything, we cannot develop the attitude that there is no need to ask anything from God because he already knows what we need. Some have come to the conclusion that we should not ask because of the verse found in Matthew. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask. Matthew 6 and 8. But and I'm just going to stop right here because I do want to say this. When we on this radio broadcast on Friday nights on our prayer, praise, and prophecy hour, I just want you all to know, I don't want you getting up there with these I, my, me prayers. When you pray, please don't embarrass yourself just praying about I, me, and mine, and nobody else. God is, see, you can't, God won't bless you when you just praying like that. That's like a selfish prayer. You cannot do that. Most of the time, when I pray, I don't even pray for myself. I pray for everybody else except for me. You don't never hear me on this radio broadcast saying, Lord, bless me. Bless my family. Lord, bless my pocketbook. Lord, bless me with finances. You can't do that. Bless my children. Bless my husband. Bless my house. God is really not pleased with us. I heard some stuff the other night, and I don't like that kind of prayer because you're supposed to be praying for other people. You're supposed to be praying for somebody to be delivered and set free. Not, oh, just me, Lord. You can't pray like that. It really vexed me, too. And I'm going to say this again, so I'm just letting y'all know if you hear it again, please do not pray like that. God's going to hear that, and he's going to say, sounded like the Pharisees to me. Me, my, I. You know, my house, my this, my that. You can't do that. And maybe people don't know. That's why I'm saying it. Because you cannot get a prayer through with God, Jesus, the Holy Ghost, by praying all for yourself. Oh, Lord, then bless the church at the end. No, that's not how it goes. And Jesus had first said, but we think ye pray, use not vain repetition, as the heathens do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Therefore, repeating the same prayers ritualistically was what Jesus was referring to. He didn't You didn't intend for us not to act, as we shall see later, but on the contrary, He intended us to ask our Father with prayers that proceed from our heart. Petitioning God is basic to pray. To prayer. God is our Father, and as a Father, He enjoys giving to us His children. A child has rights in a family. God's Son, Jesus Christ, commanded us in strong language, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, He will give it to you, and He will. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name? Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full." That's in John 16, chapter 16, verses 23 and 24. In verse 27, Christ shows why this works. "For the Father himself loveth you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God," out from God. The Father loves us because we believe in his Son. Therefore, we are partakers of the inheritance of the only begotten Son of God. God is a good God. Hallelujah. He desires to give all good things to us if we just ask him. All good things. If we just ask him. If ye then being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? That's Matthew 7 and 11. Christ came to the world to bring redemption and restoration to fallen men. That's why. "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask?" When Christ hung on the cross, the Father was bringing about the condition through which mankind could be restored unto complete fellowship with his Father. He came to restore us back to the Father. Paul stated, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5 and 19. Based on the reconciliation work of the Father, we all have the potential for salvation. Yet, salvation must be preached throughout the ends of the earth, giving all men the opportunity to accept or reject the gospel, because we still have our own will. So we have a choice. The good news is that the price has been paid and direct access to God is available to all men. Yet mankind has to act and receive this great blessing of salvation. A man must ask Christ to forgive his sin through repentance. He must ask Christ to enter his heart. Although the gift of salvation is there for everyone, it can only be appropriated by asking. You can only get it by asking. Only. Amen. Not only is our regeneration the product of asking for what was purchased for us, but also the Holy Spirit's fullness is available simply by asking. Just by asking. How much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? Luke 11 and 13. Therefore, the gift of salvation, the fullness of the Holy Spirit, as well as all other gifts, are available through petitioning prayer. James states that God will not refuse anyone who asks God for wisdom, but will give it freely as long as it is asked in faith. The gift of the Holy Spirit are available for the asking. Healing, deliverance, prosperity, and blessings are all to be asked for. We also have a right to ask for revival. Hallelujah. Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. So the Lord shall make the bright clouds and give them showers of rain. Zechariah chapter 10, verse 1. The blessings of God is ours for the asking. We can have God's blessings typified in Zechariah as rain because God has commanded us to ask for them. It's because obvious that God is willing to give to his children. However, we must participate actively in the answer to our needs by asking. You have to ask. How does asking work? How can we get our prayers or petition answered? There are four conditions that must be met to get assurance that our petition as Christians will be answered. Okay. We must ask in faith. Ask in faith. Simply asking God for things will not assure you of a positive response. All things whatsoever ye ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. We must abide in a relationship with Christ. If you abide in me and my word abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. John 15 and 7. When we abide in prayer, we develop spiritually so that his desires are our desires. Therefore, this spiritual blank check can be entrusted to us. We must be motivated properly. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that ye may spend it on your pleasures. It is God's desire to give us all good things. We know that. Yet so many requests are generated by sheer selfishness. Hallelujah. God desires that we ask should be what we ask should be to the end, that he may be glorified. We must ask in accordance with the will of God. Does this mean that we should wonder what God wants us to heal, whether God wants us to be healed before we pray for healing? No. This is why knowledge of the scripture is so important. The Bible tells us that the will of God is. So when we ask for something that God has promised us, then we know with certainty that we are praying in God's will. We are praying in his will. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we have asked of him. God responds to our requests within the framework of his personality. And I'm talking about getting our prayers, our petitions answered and when. And see, it's all in his timing. It's all in his timing. And I know I jumped from asking a petition. I'm still talking about prayer and petitioning God. But we want to know, how does God answer our petition? Responds or answer our request within the framework of his personality. That is, he does not just give us exactly what we need. On the contrary, he gives us in abundance. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:19. God's resources are unlimited resources. In this way, he supplies all our needs. Therefore, God is not lacking in any good thing. He has a storehouse full of, if we would just learn how to open the storehouse by knowing how to petition God. You have to know, and I learned early on, but you have to know how to petition God. You have to know how to go before the Lord and ask him for different things. He don't mind asking you. You asking him, because a lot of it he promised he would do anyway. Okay. Okay. So often, psychological and emotional conditions, economic conditions, dictate our faith level. This is why it is so important for us to ask God to increase our visions and dreams, which are the language of the Holy Spirit. By having a greater vision, we can see the greater provision of God. He is our provider, Jehovah Jireh. No matter who you are, you can make a difference. Your life can change your nation and the world if you know the secret of petitioning prayers. Solomon said, a man's gift would make room for him and bringeth him before great men. God desires to give you more and more than you can dream or imagine. Ask God for the gift that will cause you to have the greatest effect on your situation. Do not be satisfied with the status quo. If God can do this, God is not a God that he should change, or he's not a respecter of persons. If he do it for one somebody, he's going to do it for somebody else. You know, if you ask, you have to petition. And the next one is prayer is devotion. And you know I love, and we probably won't, let me see how much time. We got 10 minutes. Prayer is devotion. But I love the devotion part of a church service. I love the old hymns. I love to pray and read. So it's good. God told Moses, but if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. If thou seek him with all thine heart and with all thy soul, man has been created to desire communion with God. This is a void that cannot be filled by anything but genuine communion with God. No matter what man acquires, it cannot replace the fellowship that fulfills the very essence of man's being, giving purpose to life, nourishing the core of his soul. God created Adam and gave him the breath of life. He was a physical king. He was a physical, being before he was a spiritual being. Adam's spiritual dimension gave him the capacity for communion with and fellowship with God in the midst of the garden, in the cool of the evening. Man lost his ability through sin, but God still desired to fellowship with man, so he took the initiative with Abram. Abram became the father of the faithful who would have the opportunity to fellowship with God. Then God revealed his physical presence on earth in tabernacles of Moses. However, with few exceptions, only the high priest could enter into the third part of the tabernacle of Moses, which was called the Holies of Holies. And when we, it's imperative that we should have a devotion every day, ourselves and with the Holy Spirit. We should have a devotion, some kind of little devotion every day, pray, sing, pray, read a scripture. And then if you studying, that's good. However you want to do it. And you know, you don't have to have a reason to do a right prayer. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to have a reason. Just do it. I would do my devotion every day. I know a lot of us study every day, and that's a good thing. It's good to study the Word of God, but we need a little short devotion. Look, if you do it every day, you're going to get a chance to pray and study. It's a good thing. I'm telling you, it's a good thing. But sometimes you can go in your prayer closet and just sit there and be still and listen. God is speaking these days. I'm just telling you, he's speaking these days, but we're not listening. We need to listen more to the Lord. We need to. Time is at the end. And he's not going to do anything until he reveals it to his prophet. So I'm so grateful today just for another opportunity to study his word. Do we have any questions or comments? I haven't been asking that, but I'm asking now. Amen. I just wanted to know because I just want to make sure you know how important prayer is, and we haven't even gotten down in the deeper part yet because we are going to go into the prophetic intercession. That's prayer. Mm-hmm. We're going to get to that. In all things, just know that God gives us wisdom and knowledge. For any gift he gives us, we need to use wisdom. We need to use wisdom with it. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to, we're going to get ready to get off, and we're going to start on Thursday with our devotion, prayers devotion. That's what we're gonna start there on Thursday. And by the grace of God. And I'm not going to hold out thank and praise God for you out in radio land, and each one that's on our radio broadcast, we just thank and praise God again for you, for being with us and staying on with us as long as you have. We're going to get ready to pray and dismiss, Father. We just thank you now, Lord. Am I moving too fast? Anyway. We thank you now, Lord. We give you praise and glory on tonight, Lord. We magnify your holy name tonight, Lord. We thank you tonight for opening up our minds and our thoughts, Lord, to your word, Father. In the name of Jesus, we thank you right now for opening up our spiritual eyes and ears. In the mighty name of Jesus, Father, we thank you tonight for your anointing all over us. Right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we thanking you now that you've searched our hearts and minds and spirits. In the name of Jesus, and we give you glory for doing it, Father. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for creating in us a clean heart, renewing us a right spirit and a sound mind. We just give you praise and glory. We ask you to bless the end time men and women of war. In the mighty name of Jesus and their families, we ask you tonight to cover Apostle Deans right now in the shed blood of Jesus. We ask you right now, Father, to bless everyone that's up under the sound of my voice, they and their families, and cover them, Lord, in the shed blood of Yeshua HaMashiach on tonight in the name of Jesus. Lord, now I thank you. We just thank you now. We thank you for your holy word. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for the angels. Hallelujah. We just thank you for the Holy Ghost on tonight. We thank you for your darling son, Jesus, tonight. We just thank you now. Hallelujah. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name for your glory. Now to him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, I say you be glory, majesty, dominion, and power. Both now and forever. Amen. Amen, y'all. I'm so sorry I went there. But I'm a little tired tonight, and when my mind is tired, the Holy Ghost takes over. I didn't even know I was praying like that. That's why I just, whew, hallelujah. But you all have a blessed night on tonight. God bless you. I love you. If you need to call me, call me. God bless you. Amen.